Moraš da pira. 5 months of Shmuel stayed in the exile of the Artsot of Rit. Where did that place?
USA.
USA.
New York. Gehenna.
Gehenna, exactly. In that time, Tzvi Aryeh, Rosenfeld was working with the lawyers and stuff to try to get him as fast as possible the passport. And finally, after 5 months, Shmuel got his passport, the American passport. And then, in order to get all the stuff together, all the paperwork, Shmuel needed to be 2 days
in the city,
yeah, in Manhattan. Shmuel Manhattan, can you believe it? So part of the things
he had to go to all federal buildings.
One of the things they had to do was that he never agreed in his whole life, besides going to Oman, was to take a picture of him. He never agreed that anyone would take pictures. People took pictures, but he from himself is going to take a picture for his passport. Yeah, it was a serious negligence to sit on a chair in front of a photographer and open his eyes, because he didn't think he had to with the eyes open, and look at the guy, and the picture was taken. But for Rabbeinu, he did anything, even taking a picture.
But didn't he have to do that for a Tudas Ahud?
Not yet, does it? Yeah, but yeah.
So, there was no one, once a Shabbat, there was a Hasid.
What?
When I was in my home on Shabbat, Motzi Shabbat,
yeah,
there was a Hasid, festival. He was closing his eyes from the beginning to the end. He was, somebody guided him to close his eyes. I don't know what it was.
When Shmuel went to Manhattan, so the person who was escorting him, he took him to the Empire State Building. This is before the Twin Towers? No, that's the Twin Towers. We're looking at the Empire State Building.
They still have the Empire State Building.
I know, I was there. He took him all the way to, I don't know, to the top of the 80th floor, wherever they have the, what's it called, the
observation.
Observation floor. Lounge. Yeah. And then he opened his eyes. He opened his eyes to see the. Asked me when he went back to the house. He said, "How could Jews live here and feel Hashem? It's so crowded in this place. All the buildings. You look from the top. You've been there. Yeah. It's very, very crowded. I could see from the top." Anyways, after 5 months over there, something happens. He got the passport. But they didn't give him a visa to go into the communist countries. So, this was a big strike for him. You know, 5 months left his place, Yerushalayim, Na'at Sha'arim, went to America, Hashem Menachem, finally got the passport to go to the Ukraine. What? For no reason? But Shmuel, nothing. Went back to Israel, continued working regularly. First of all, Shmuel, yes, no, doesn't make a difference. His feeling doesn't make a difference. Hashem, now I have to go work now? I'm going to serve Hashem. What do I have to do now if I feel like this or feel like that? I have to serve Hashem. I serve Hashem in any case. Okay? I didn't have time for these things. He was serving Hashem all the time. He didn't have time now to think, I can't go to Albania. No, he was serving Hashem. And still, it was giving him even a stronger power for the desire to go to Albania. Only one thing changed after he came back to America. His prayers to go to Uman got a lot stronger. And he knew for sure that Albania was going to call him soon. One day, after Shmuel came back to Israel, there was a guy in London, his name was Avila Leichter. And it's through London or whatever. They got the uh, Anyways, they got somehow the visa for him. After 3 days that he served, they asked for the thing, they got back the visa. Unbelievable. But the problem is that it doesn't say on the visa, Uman, of course, as we know. It just says Odessa, whatever. But they didn't care. Odessa already close to Uman. Yeah, from there we'll find the way to Uman. The reason why they didn't let them people go to Uman because they didn't want people. They wanted the whole world to see how Western they are, how modern they are. So only the big cities they were like sort of modern. And in Uman, Ezra knows, Ezra was there 25 years ago. Right? You know how it used to be then. There was no streets, there was no toilets, there was no water running in the 25 years ago, talking about, right, Ezra?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. You were there 25 years ago? It was not. Even I, 10
how
years ago.
Out in the day, here and there, you didn't have water. But most of the day, you didn't have water.
You didn't have water running. How was it 10 years ago in a little town that the only water they had was in a pump in the backyard? Yeah. With no, with the
how many people was when physical? How many people were in Uman?
Yeah, it was probably
like
3,000. It's a few years after it opened up. Yeah? It was the first time and the only time that this certain guy who got them the visas was able to get visas for American passports. A man special for Shmuel. And that was the opening. The Garden of Eden, the Soviet Garden of Eden. That's what they called it. Fine. So Shmuel was praying after 40 years of yearning and anticipating. 40 years. Anticipating, yearning, cravings, wanting to go. And he's going to Uman, he's going back home. Sunday, Chafei Tammuz. Tafshin Lamed Aleph, 1971. Shmuel left his house to Mashaarim on the way to the airport. At the end, the destination is Uman. The first stop was Vienna.
Austria.
Huh?
Austria.
You've been there?
No.
How about you? Shalom is going on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be there for Shabbos. Shmuel had a great issue with Das. His eyes were closed the whole way and he looked like he wasn't even there. He was doing Bulldud. He told Rabbi Lichter, the person who guarded him, the British guy, don't talk with me. I need to talk with Hashem now for an hour. He turned his head to the window and talking to Hashem. By the way, when he awoke him from his Dveikus, his Bulldud, he asked the Rabbi Lichter, his escorter, what do you call the escorter?
Escort.
His escort?
Escort, yeah.
His melaveh, his escort. To tell him, Shkia, Zricha, Vechulei. When is the Shkia? When is the Nate over there in the Ukraine? So, Vina.
Vienna.
Vienna in English, you say? In Hebrew, you say Vina.
Vienna.
How do you say in Vienna?
Vienna is wine.
How do you say in German?
Vienna.
Vin, also in French. Vin. Anyways, Vienna opened the eyes, he didn't look, to all the Western world, the Western culture. It was a little bit different than Mea Shaarim. Well, Shmuel wasn't there really. It was Shmuel, he was on the way to Uman, he didn't know what's going on. And the whole time Shmuel walked there in the airport with his hands on his eye like that. Hassan shouldn't see. And then he heard people talking. Moved away, there's a blind Jew over here. Moved away. From Vienna, he got off the plane, he got onto a Russian plane. Supposed to take them to Kiev. Which was a little republic, socialist. Soviet Ukraine. From Vienna to Kiev is not many, it's not a long time, right? And then they flew into Kiev. And Shmuel, the whole time, he was with Hashem. Yeah, close his eyes as if he's in Meron right now. So, when you see a tourist who's wearing black clothing, he's standing in the middle of a Soviet airport with his eyes closed, covering his eyes, kind of weird, kind of suspicious, kind of dangerous. And they need to do something, so Bida Lechter, the escort, he didn't know what to do. So Shmuel, we're tourists, we came to see, take your hands off the eyes, we're supposed to suddenly come to explore the country. It looks like it's very suspicious. Well, Shmuel doesn't see Soviets. 50 years he hasn't opened his eyes, now he's going to open his eyes for the Soviets. He tells Labuda, don't act, don't betray. Just continue on the line for the passport control.
Can you say that over again?
What?
Just what you said.
So he told Labuda, don't get nervous, don't panic. Just continue on the line to the passport control. Fine. Labuda said, I was in a lot of pressure. The terminal, the Soviet that did it, it hardly lit, only a little bit light. Yeah, every few meters there were chayalim, how do you say chayalim, soldiers, and cops with weapons on them. It's kind of scary, yeah. And by me, walking by me, is Rav Shmuel with his eyes closed, with his holy fingers covering his holy eyes. It looked really surrealistic. Did I say anything surrealist? Surrealistic. Right? And of course it was empty, it was just us, hardly anyone was there. My fear went... 1971? Yeah. So we got to the passport control, and I told him, Shmuel, we got there. And he opened his eyes. Like a regular person. It was, yeah, and also he wore long pants, regular pants like we were. Because usually he used to wear the stockings, like that, up to here, the pants, and then the. Yeah. So it was our turn to go for a checkup. When they saw this Jew walking around like this, so they got really suspicious. What's going on? So they opened up all of his bags and looked through. Yeah. Let's see if there's nothing to threaten the great Mother Russia. And according to Shmuel's request, I brought with us a lot of his farm. But I put them in that bag and that bag and that bag, all kinds of books. But when they looked in all the bags, they saw all the books. So after they asked us, what are these? What are these books? Each book, they told us, what does it say in here? What is this? So then they just warned us that we shouldn't leave any of their books in their perfect country. We don't want their stuff over here. So, and tomorrow we continue in the middle of the story how Shmuel reached Uman for the first time. Crazy story, huh?